You're so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Cynthia and the worship team. I greet you all in the wonderful name of Jesus, even those at the back. Turn to somebody and say, I'm happy you're here. Spoke to Craig early this morning. Him and Francie visiting Francie's parents in Windhoek. And lo and behold, he's ministering there at Shofar today. And that's not all. Francie's also doing the praise and worship there this morning. Amen. So it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I always, when I have the opportunity to minister, I'm always so aware of the fact that we really have an excellent teacher in the form of Craig. He divides the word and he gives a solid word. And it's not easy always to stand here and preach where somebody like him would preach. And so in this week, when I waited upon the Lord and I asked the Lord, what should I share with his folk this morning? I was just so aware of the Lord saying to me, stick in your lane. Do what you do best. And my lane is actually funny lane, because I believe it's in a way prophetic, and there's no pastor's dust, there's no funny things happening. I just know when I share the word of God, it's a prophetic word that I share with you guys, and I trust that it will fall in your heart. And Cynthia just said something that actually underlines the whole word that I'm going to share with you this morning. It's the simple gospel. If we stick to the basics. You know, when I was in the army, they would say, basis gaan net aangaan en aangaan. Basics is going to be going on and on until you do what I want you to do. That was the corporal way of the... He wanted us to be doing exactly the way he wants us to do the things. He said, basis gaan net aangaan en aangaan. It was a form of punishment. But I think when it comes to the gospel, we have to stick to the basics. And if we stick to the basics, then we will eventually see the results. Amen? And the basics is Jesus died for you and for me. We were sinners. We were lost. He gave us the opportunity to repent. And now we are his church. And so I'm going to talk a little bit. I'm just laying a foundation. I had a whole thing worked out. And the Lord said to me, no, just stick to the basics. So I want us to think about the Church of Acts. You know that we are the Church of Acts. In every book of the Bible in the New Testament, there's a greetings. Paul greets his brethren or whoever writes the chapter. And at the end, there's usually greetings again. But the book of Acts is different. There's no ending to the book of Acts. And I believe the Holy Spirit did it in such a way because we are continuing today as the book of Acts. We are the Church of Acts. I think you missed a good place to say amen. We are the Church of Acts. Thank you. We are continuing today with what God had intended with his son, Jesus Christ. We are his church today. All right? So, if you would turn with me, and you look at this picture, you all know what that is, eh? What is that? Tower of Babel. All right. So, let's read the scripture in Genesis 11. Now, the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burned them thoroughly, and they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have one language, and this is the only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. Now, the background to this story, it's about 100 years after Noah, after the flood. Okay, Noah landed on the Mount Ararat, and God said to him, now I want you to do this. I want you to go and fill the earth. Move from here. Fill the earth, all right? But Noah's great-grandson, Nimrod, was a big leader during that time. And in Genesis 9, we read that for the first time in the Word of God, the Bible calls somebody a great man. Nimrod was called a great man. But historically, we know that Nimrod established quite a following there, and he led by fear. He was a dictator of note. And although God had told Noah and his family to spread out and fill the world, when his descendants poured onto the plain of Shinar, they decided to settle right down there. So why did they settle there? There was enough water. It was an easy life. And there was enough resources to have an easy life. And they stayed there, and this guy started saying, well, I can manipulate the people. I can start building a kingdom myself. And history tells us that he has actually built quite a few cities in that area. But then he came and he realized something. They still had a fear. Remember, it's only about 100 years after the flood. So when I was a child, I would sit in, I was like 7 or 8 years old, and I would hear my grandmother and my father, even my mother, speaking about die groot depressie, the Great Depression. Who ever heard of that word here? Die groot depressie. Why do we do this? My kind, jy weet nie wat het is om in die depressie te wees nie. And so they were continuously referring us back to what happened. And I think something similar must have happened here. He was continuously, I mean, there were only a few people left. The historians reckon about 10,000 people or 9,000 people after the flood. And they were all afraid of what? Another flood. And so this guy who leads by fear says, let's build a new place that would reach right up to the heaven where we can be safe. And the Bible says that they started making bricks. Now, bricks is a key word here. They started making bricks, and they built this city the Tower of Babel, and archaeologists, the funny thing is it didn't stand, but they reckon it must have been around 200 meter high, more or less 60 stories. The only building in South Africa that's 60 stories high is in Sandton. It's called the Leonardo. That was quite a big building, and they've built about 20 years on this. And what did they need to be able to build this tower? They had to have unity amongst themselves. Do you agree? They had to have unity. They would not be able to build this big tower if they didn't have one common goal. There was definitely unity amongst them. All right? And the historians reckon there was so much unity amongst them when somebody would fall off from the tower, they would just go on building. They would just leave that person there. But if a brick hit the person, then they would mourn him. Interesting. It's not in the Bible, but it shows you what the attitude of the people were. They were united in fear. Now, it's interesting as well to know that this was the place where there was lots of bitumen. Bitumen is a slimy substance, and they used that to waterproof the bricks. They used it as mortar, but it was also a waterproofing agent, bitumen. The ark was covered with what? Bitumen. Moses' little basket was covered with bitumen. Bitumen is actually something that we still use today. And they used this as mortar, as an agent, as mortar, but they also used it to waterproof this whole building. What they did not keep in mind is that bitumen is highly flammable. But they were building this, and then God looked at this and he said, there's the rainbow. I gave you guys the rainbow, but you still have this fear. And he got the people to start building bricks. Now, bricks always speaks of slavery and bondage and degradation and misery, if I can say, trapped in the hopelessness of sin. We can see in the book of Exodus, there were quite a few times in history, like in the book of Exodus, in the history of mankind, that brick making was synonymous with slavery. Even today, there's kids in India making bricks, kids in the slave industry. So, excuse me, brick making is synonymous with slavery. Remember that. Brick making is synonymous with slavery. And then God intervened. The Lord said, the Bible says, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people and have one language. And this is the beginning of what they will do. When there's unity, there's power in unity. Do you agree to that? Amen. There's power in unity. I think previously our country's motto was Eendracht maak mag. And the Lord said, there's nothing that they can, there's so much potential. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. Sometimes I think there's a little bit of confusion. There's a little bit of Babel in our household. Because One person would say something, and then I would do something else. Men and women often have this Babel thing. True? Your wife says, would you please mind to do this? And I said, okay, I thought you said tomorrow or in 6 months from now. No, she actually meant right now. All right? When my wife says, let us take out the black bag, the refuge bag. We should take out the refuge bag. What does she actually mean? Is it true, Rolf? No, not in your household. Oh, the kids. We should do that. We should do that. Can you imagine the confusion? One moment they were saying, give me that brick. Okay, what are you talking about? I can't understand you. God intervened and all of a sudden nobody could understand each other. And the result of that intervention was so severe that after 20 years, they stopped building that tower. Now, it's very interesting to know that that tower, and I say it's not like the pyramids or whatever, nothing of it's still standing today. There's sites, they say, this is where we think it was. It hasn't been proven or anything. But this is where the Tower of... It didn't stand the test of time. When God is not in your building, it will not stand the test of time. All right. So, now let's skip a few pages. Let's skip a few years. 2,000 years, more or less. Please turn to Acts 2. And when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Perithians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? On the day of Pentecost, God arranged it in such a way that all the people were there together again. People from all over the earth reckoned the day of Pentecost one of the most important festivals in the Jewish calendar, and they say people from all over the world were there. What does this mean? I want you to see that they were all there in one accord, all in one place. This time, God reversed the dispersion of people, bringing them together from north, south, east, and west. All right? His purpose at this time was not to scatter. It was unity. In the Babel story came down a united people and ultimately confused the people. Okay? Babel, they were united, then they were confused. See? And the result of that was they had to stop building. In Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, it was precisely the same being, God, coming down and again down to a united people. However, this time, he did not obstruct, but he facilitated the building. In this case, the construction of his church. God came down, but this time under the name of the Holy Spirit, because God is a spirit. We all know that. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 17 says, God is spirit. John says, God is spirit, and those who want to worship him must do it in spirit and in truth. So this time, the Holy Spirit comes down, and we say, this is the birth of the church. All right? People in unity, from different countries, and all of a sudden, they hear the word of God. They hear something that they can understand. The language of the church. The language of the church. So, originally when I started preparing the sermon, I thought of giving a teaching on the difference between the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the speaking of tongues and stuff. But the Holy Spirit led me to something else. And I want to share that almost in closing with you. This, you know, when they built the towers in the Old Testament, it was a high tower, and at the top of it, they would put a place of worship, an altar. In the Old Testament, always you would see they would offer on the high places, because they had this belief: the higher we can get, the closer we get to God, the closer we get to heaven. This time, Jesus came down, God the Spirit came down. There was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it becomes a divine inhabitation. The Holy Spirit dwells in you and me. If you are born again, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Can you agree to that? All right? If you are born again, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Now, I'm not going to give a teaching with regards to speaking in tongues or anything like that. I'm just going to say, if you are born again, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Now, the bricks that is used in the Old Testament, in Babel, that is connected to slavery, making bricks and stuff. All of a sudden, the moment when Jesus died on the cross and the church was formed, the Bible says he became the cornerstone. He became the foundation of the church. And we, like we sang this morning, are no longer slaves, but we are free. We, as a matter of fact, now became the living stones in the temple of God. We are the living stones. So the church of God today is no longer a place where I go to and worship like in the temple. But now the church of God is a place where God inhabits me. It's potent. God inhabits my life. Various places in Scripture, it says, weet julle nie dat julle liggame 'n tempel van God is nie? In 1 Corinthians, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. Behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but those who do not believe, the stones that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. 1 Peter 2 verse 4, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves like living stones are being built up as a spiritual house. Now listen to this. In one sentence, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Christians, born again children of God, individually and collectively are temples, in as much as they are the habitation of God through the Spirit. God now dwells in you and in me to perform the same function that the priests did and what he did in the Old Testament. What was the job of the priest in the Old Testament? Who can tell me? Sacrifice. What else? He had to be the person that represented the normal guy in the Holy of Holies. All right? But all of a sudden, you and I, according to this scripture, we are priests by virtue of our consecration and our direct access to God. It makes me look at you in a different way. And I acknowledge you as a priest in the kingdom of God. And now this priest is not somebody that is being paid. Or it's not his job. It's not because he was a descendant of Aaron that he becomes a priest. No. Or everybody that according to the word of God that believes in him is called children of God. Now we become part of that lineage of Jesus Christ. And we are priests. We are part of this living building. Stones, living stones. Now, it's interesting in the Greek, it says it's a living stone that continues to live, if I can use that word. It continues to live. It's got this ability to grow. It continues to live. This nie 'n lewende steen nie, is 'n lewendige steen. There's a purpose for me. There's a purpose for you. And we might not all have the same purpose. We might not all speak the same language. Some of us speak German. Some of us speak Dutch. Some of us speak the holy language Afrikaans. Others speak English. It all doesn't matter. But we all speak the language of the church. And that is Jesus Christ. It's the universal language, the language of love. You can call it whatever you want to, but the Holy Spirit is that language in my heart that binds us together. It's no longer bitumen, it's the Holy Spirit that binds these living stones together. And we have a function in the body of Christ, the function being that of a living stone, of a priest, representing God to men and men to God. I want to say that again. My function, and it's the simple gospel that we spoke about earlier this morning, all right, a little bit earlier, is to represent God to men and men to God. That's what priests do. It sounds like 1 Corinthians 11, where it says, you are an open letter. People can read you. Julle is geopende briewe. People can read you. People read me. And I'm so thankful that we are not, that we are saved, but we're not perfect. Amen? I read something in the week that I think it's a sermon on its own, but it was so potent. I shared it last night with Lelani or yesterday. It says sin can have an influence on my fellowship with God, but not on my relationship with Him. Isn't that beautiful? If I sin and if I have challenges in my life, I often feel condemned and I often feel I cannot have that intimacy with God. But I'm His child. It's like your children here on earth. When they are in the wrong, or when I was a child, when I was in the wrong, I did not have that courage to speak to my mother or my father because I knew I did something wrong. But I was still their child. We are sacrifices in as much as one main part of our priestly function is to offer ourselves to God. Now, this is wonderful because it's no longer that I have to sacrifice, but I want to sacrifice myself to God. It's not that I'm not allowed to do this and this and this. It is I don't want to. I am a sacrifice. I sacrifice my praise. I sacrifice my time. I sacrifice. It's a whole new sermon on its own. But we are priests. There's so many comparisons when it comes to, now Amelie said to me, or she indicated in a small way last night that I should not preach too long. She says, remember after 30 minutes people don't listen anymore. So I'm reaching that stage now where you're going to stop listening. What am I saying? I'm saying we are in the Acts Church, we are part of the temple of God. We together, it's not me as an individual, together we are those living stones. And the Holy Spirit binds us together. And the Holy Spirit is the propelling force that moves us forward. That propels us and says, It gives us that power to say, you will be my witnesses. You will be my priests. And I want to challenge you in this morning just to think, what is my function right now? How do I look like as a priest in the kingdom of God? As a stone, as a living stone. Am I building on the cornerstone? Am I outside there? What am I doing? Cynthia, I want to ask to come forward and sing that song, God is So Good Again. And while they're singing it, I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Remember I said it's a prophetic word, I trust God that even if you don't understand or not, maybe I didn't come over correctly this morning, that the Holy Spirit will take this word and put it in your heart, in your spirit, and make you see where you are, where you fit in into the kingdom of God, a living stone. We're free. We're no longer brickmakers. We are living stones. We don't serve God out of fear. We serve Him because we love Him. Let's stand together and let's sing it and allow the Holy Spirit to work. God, You're so good.